Blog Talk Radio.
So you wanna be a gangster?
Yo, Bishop! What you want?
Take whatever you want.
Yo, ass, punk. You've been saying that you say you can bust my ass.
Believe that shit?
So,
hello, hello, hello. Once again, welcome to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. Live and back in action. It's been a long week, man, but I know we missed the episode, missed the week. The crew was on vacation, man. Shout out to Miami, Florida, man. I'll see you soon. Also, since the last time we spoke, the champion, NBA world champion, Cleveland Cavaliers, just finished dusting off the only comeback from a 3-1 deficit in a 7-game series in the finals to capture the first NBA title ever, the first championship of any kind in pro sports in the city of Cleveland. 52 years, so pretty good for Ohio. Ohio celebrating, man. Still coming down off that high. I don't know if it's ever gonna come down. Y'all gonna feel like champions for a while, but y'all deserve it, Cleveland, Ohio, and I'll celebrate. Got one person in live right now. I think that's the mayor. What's up, Mr. 330-5975?
And you already know it's the mayor in the building. You know. Still celebrating my boys' win. Still putting on for my boy Brian. They can't take it from us. You know, we earned it. And shout out to my Duke boy, Kyrie. You know how it goes.
Amen, amen. See some hate going on with that, man. I mean, I want to give Kyrie all the credit because, man, that was some Kobe shit, that shot. And it was a tray ball in front of, you know, Steph. So, I mean, it took a lot of guts to shoot that shot. I don't think a lot of players could have made that. But, you know, it's blasphemy to say anybody, but LeBron James was the MVP in that series.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. I mean, yeah, I feel like, you know what I'm saying, LeBron clearly was the MVP, but Kyrie probably had just as many, like, you know what I'm saying, moments that really took over the series. But as a whole, LeBron was holding it down. Regardless, you know what I'm saying, from game one. So, the great series, mind you, like one of the greatest in history, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, I mean, a lot of people compare, and I think the things to do now is to compare duos or, you know, in a lot of cases, trios. You know, when Mike and Scottie Pippen was doing it, it really wasn't a talk or too much of a duo. Everybody understood in the 90s, you know, basketball is still a team sport at the end of the day. Though, you know, Michael Jordan was clearly the best player, but, you know, the Shaq and Kobe era kicked off that duo, that two superstars on one team thing. And, you know, here we are where we got, you know, free agency where, you know, we trying to pair up superstars and stack them up on teams to see who going, you know, be the next champion. But I think it's, you know, it's hard to really, you know, discredit somebody for what they do as a team, even though you give accolades such as the most valuable to your team. Now, I will give you that, you know, without Kyrie, I don't think the Cavs would have won, but at the same time, you know, they wouldn't even be in that position if LeBron James hadn't been doing what he was doing. So, shouts out to the King, man. Respect earned and deserved. Best player in the world, LeBron. But, really, you know, it ain't the talk of the Cavs as of late, you know, even though, you know, Cleveland and Ohio might still be, you know, smelling like champagne. The NBA is making everybody seem like champions, you know, this week. You know, they backed up the Brinks truck to just about every arena and said, come on in.
The NBA out here thinking this is King of Diamonds and Magic City. They just making it rain out here. They don't care. They just toss the money to whoever, don't matter how you look. No matter how you've been performing. They just go throw money at you, I see.
Yes, but, you know, it's it's deeper than that. You know, I know we, you know, I was explaining, I was trying to talk to y'all last time, thinking in the chat about, you know, it's different. We scrutinize these athletes because, number one, they're in the spotlight. Number two, they're making millions of dollars. So nobody looks at our checks like that. I think my man Mike had a good point about that. And that's Mike right there in the queue, 6011. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Well, good.
I'm good.
Oh, man. Hey, man, I know you were speaking on, I think you did you put the link in there as to why the NBA salary cap was so high at this point? It was more money than what they expected.
Oh, yeah, there was, I guess there was the jump as far as, like, sales overall. Sorry. As far as sales overall this year, so when they did the 50-50 turnoff, it was an extra $23 million just sitting. So they had to find a way to separate it and divide it up amongst the athletes. And I think that's just the extra $23, not even counting the $94 million for the salary cap for this year. So I think extra $23 million.
What I read, it was like, I think the 23 was like per year. It was extra 23 per year on the salary cap. It was a total of like 130 something million. I think all based off that 50-51 split, like the players is going to get 51% and the owners get 49%. That's crazy. So it went from the salary cap last year being at $70 million to it being $93-94 million this year.
Right.
Man, so let's get into it since we're talking about it. Man, we had some outrageous. Let me just first of all say Merry Christmas to Timofey Mozgov. I got to start getting this man's name right. Because he played for my squad. They ain't going to be my squad too much longer if they keep on doing stuff like this. 4 years, $64 million, $60 million a year. Los Angeles Lakers on day one of free agency decided that, man, look, we just can't win. We just gonna stick to what we know, stick to what we can get. We're going to shoot for the trees. And signed him immediately after playing. It was like they said he played, what, 50, he scored 15 points. All playoffs and got $16 million. So
yeah.
I mean, that's my worst signing. What do y'all think is the worst signing so far? Like maybe the most eye popping, the most eye catching. I'll start with you, Mike.
I gotta go with right now the worst sign. I don't know if it's the worst because there's a long list of like people that's not in the spotlight. I got to go back and look at as far as, like, signings. That's crazy. But I think one of the ones that was most talked about, well, not most talked about, but very well talked about on the first, I still got to go to Dellavedova. How he went from making maybe $4 or $5 million with the Cavs to $38 million with the Bucks in a half of a series where he didn't even play good in the playoffs. Much as he put up in the season. So for me, that was one of the worst deals I've seen throughout the weekend.
So hold on, time out. How much was he making last year in Cleveland for a year?
Like a couple million.
I think it was
million.
Like 3 or 4. Yeah.
Yeah, like a couple million.
Like 3 or 4. So the overall deal for him was $38 million. So what did that average out to per year? Was it like 4 years, $38 million, something like that?
I think he's looking at Steph Curry money, basically. I think it's like $12 million a year. Wait. It's something like that. 12 or 10. It is like 10.
And that's the backup point guard. You know, I guess you can say when people going to look back on this, they're going to be like, well, these are two players off of an NBA championship team. They were the bench players. And like I said, 15 points all playoffs with Timofey Mozgov. Not even going to get into Matthew Dellavedova, which that contract actually was a lot less frightening than Timothy to me. Ryan, what was your, you know, worst or most eye-popping, eye-catching contract?
I mean, you already know how I feel about the Mozgov, but it's two –
it's two that really pop out to me. I'm gonna go with my first one, which I kind of already ruined it because I put it in the chat. But Joakim Noah got 4 years, $72 million. He missed 53 games.
Last year.
He got $72 million, and he missed 53 games. I mean, I just don't understand it. He hasn't been healthy the last couple of years, so it's not like, oh, maybe just a one-off type situation. He hasn't been healthy. And then he's not even that type of guy that's really going to give you – I mean, he's the type of guy where you he needs to be on a team that's already like a championship-type team. He's not going to rebuild the Knicks. Like, that's just ridiculous to me. I mean, regardless, whatever they're trying to do, they overpaid them. I don't care what they're trying to do. They overpaid them. I mean, they overpaid them. And I don't understand that at all. And the next one, and this man better write a formal letter to LeBron James. Because he blocked LeBron James and got $70 million. This Mac Diabo played half of a series, and got 4 years, $70 million. He blocked LeBron James, and that man got $70 million. He wasn't doing anything all year. They even stated during the whole season he hadn't been playing because the other dude had been, you know what I'm saying, starting and playing. He blocked LeBron James and got $70 million. Him and his country better write LeBron James a letter. Ambassador, I want everybody. They need to write him a formal letter because he got 4 years, $70 million from the Orlando Magic to come down there and play basketball. He went from Canada to Orlando. Isn't America great? That's all I got to say. Hey, it's a great country, ain't it? It's a great country. It's a wonderful
country. Bismack Biyombo is what we talk about, right? Listen. Biyombo is a decent, serviceable backup defensive big man. There's nothing wrong with a team going out there and looking for him. I agree with you that that's an overpriced. That's a hefty tag to pay for him. But that's another thing. It's like him, Mozgov, Dellavedova. Why are they even being talked about? Were they impact players? Are they going to think? Now, Joakim Noah, I did want to make this argument. He was in the conversation. He finished fourth in MVP voting in 2013-2014. I know people were saying that, yeah, that's a long shot. That was just a vote in that year. And I have my own opinions about the MVP voting. But the dude can play basketball. Joakim Noah is a defensive anchor for your team. And on a New York team that has Carmelo Anthony, who's not known for his defense at all,
I got a question for you. When you look at these players, are you like a lifetime achievement type guy, or are you like a what have you done for me lately type guy? Because you can say, you can bring up what they did in X amount of years in the past, but what does that have to do with what they currently doing? And he been hurt the last, ever since then, he been hurt. Ever since that year, he's been hurt every year. And this year, he almost missed as many games as millions that he gets.
Okay, so he played at 87. The next year, the year following his quote unquote MVP year, where he was fourth in MVP vote, and he had 67 games. So you know, missed only what 15. And then just last year, like you said, that was the big one where he missed a chunk of games. So, I mean, it's just one injury.
But even if you watch the games, though, even though that season afterwards, even though he didn't miss games, he got pulled from games. So you got to take a look at minutes.
Well,
it's not always about
over.
Games you play.
It was a changeover in Chicago, though, man. They was going through some stuff. They just brought Pau Gasol there. It was Joakim and Pau Gasol was supposed to mesh.
They reported.
And he got sat on. And he got sat on the bench. That's the key point. He got sat on the bench.
I mean, but it wasn't for, you know, lack of skill. It was for, you know, they was going in a different direction. I agree.
But the Heat trying to sign D Wade for $5 million in the McDonald's
right.
Big Mac deal.
Let's talk about that. Let's put this in perspective. Dwayne Wade, since you mentioned lifetime achievement type and versus what have you done for me lately, Dwayne Wade had a pretty good year last year. Not only has he brought the team three championships, three NBA championships, so that's three of four. He's got three to four NBA champions that Miami got. But, you know, he basically got all the records for the whole, you know, you're supposed to pay this guy, especially after, like, Kobe got $25 million to, you know, look good to shoot shots.
Hey, Shug, after you get done talking about this, Shug, I still got another person. I got a third person I forgot about that I got to talk about. But you can continue with D Wade.
I got you. I got you. But I want Mark to tell me that because I know this his squad. They offered $10 million a year, and it was it a 1 year deal that they offered him, or was it like a 2 year deal?
Yeah.
However, they offered this.
I think it was one, wasn't it?
They offered this man $10 million a year after the Lakers, with 17 wins last year, offered the backup center off the Cleveland Cavaliers $16 million a year. They backup point guard got $12 million a year. Don't ask this man to come back to the squad. And it's noted that he, you know, gave up money, left money on the table to get LeBron and Bosh in. I think that's just disrespectful. And Pat Riley's supposed to know better than that. I expected more from him. You all have a jump in of about $22 million. Just pay him an extra $22 million you didn't know you was gonna get in salary cap space. What's wrong with that? How bad is he leaving?
I think it all comes down to, you know, everything. Well, a lot of these players come down to Kevin Durant, the valuable free agent at the moment. But out of all, like when you ask about disrespect, that's like super disrespect. That's like pretty much that's like pushing somebody's buttons to the very end. Like I'm gonna poke you. Because I know you're not going to do nothing. So you've been here for 13 years and you did all this and you ain't got no, you got us all these rings, but you've been cool with taking little money. So, you know what I mean? Don't try to buff up now when your knees is going bad. That's what I feel, that's what Pat Riley trying to do. Like you getting old. Like you getting old. So don't try to take control now. So like, I feel like Pat Riley's like, well, you did it for us this year. So, you know, go ahead and take this little bit of money this year because, you know, we're going to keep you on the team. We're going to make sure you get paid. But, you know, you don't got to take the max. And I do feel like as a player, as a superstar, all-star player, that's disrespectful for Dwayne Wade. And do I think he's staying? I don't know. I don't see him going to the Bucks, but I don't know if he's going to stay because $20 million, somebody offered me $22 million, and you only offered me $10 million, and you ain't trying to match it because you want to sign Hassan Whiteside, who's a decent player. But come on. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I dig it totally. Hassan Whiteside should have been a priority, though, for y'all, man. I am glad. I like him down in Miami. I like what y'all doing with him, for real, bringing y'all back, but at the same time, they promised
when they signed Hassan Whiteside, they promised him that D Wade was coming back.
Exactly, but you don't. That's a failed promise if you offering a man $10 million. Damn it! Do they really think that they can get Kevin Durant? Is that what they really waiting on, for Kevin Durant to announce if he's not going to the Heat?
Yeah, that's what everybody looking at right now, bro.
Come on, man.
Ask Harrison Barnes. Oh yeah, I got about who you talking about.
All right, I got some stuff to chime in on this D Wade situation to myself. Because, like, I really, I know him, I feel him. But that's completely disrespectful. You can't tell me over, like, it's deeper than lifetime achievement with D-Wade, because he's still productive. He's more productive than a lot of these dudes that's even being signed. So even if it wasn't even about lifetime achievement or him coming off of injuries like how Kobe was and stuff, like, he's still out there and he's a factor. Like, you got a game plan for this man. Like, you just not, he's just not just out there taking up a spot on a roster. Like, he really got game still. So for them to lowball him, pause, and be like $10 million a year, like, that's ridiculous. Like, he deserves way more than that. Like, I'm not even going to lie. Like, he deserves way more than that. And I feel like, if anything, like, I mean, I feel like that's disrespectful in itself, and that, I mean, I don't think that he's going to leave. I think really what the thing is I don't know what Miami is really waiting on, because they're not about to get anybody. So I don't really know what they're waiting on, but it seems like they're waiting on something before they jump the gun and sign him. But just the thought of you, like, it makes your organization look bad, honestly. Like, I mean, you sitting up here, like, playing around with this man, pause, and he's up here, you know, the face. He's the greatest person that's on a lifetime level, like, for your franchise. He's the greatest face that y'all have had, like, as far as somebody with a 10-year that's been there, you know what I'm saying? And I just feel like they owe him a lot. I feel like they owe him a lot more. And his productivity is not bad. Like, it's not like he's just been slouching. Like, he's really been balling. So I don't understand that at all, to me. Like, it's mind blowing to me, honestly. Like, if it was me, I wouldn't even go back off of principle. Like, I would go somewhere else. That's just
for you to even
offer that to me is disrespectful.
So you saying he should leave Miami, no matter if they offer him the $20 million that he's looking for? You saying it's just too disrespectful?
I mean, that's me personally. I would, like, my personal lifestyle. So, like, you, because it's just like, why would you even fix your lips to say that to me? I would look at that like, is this a typo right here? Like, you didn't mean to put a one and a zero, right? Like, you could have told me $2 million. Like, that's, I won't believe it. Y'all must have meant to be like another little line, and supposed to be $40 million or anything, like anything else. Like, you couldn't tell me $10 million. You know what you get for $10 million in the NBA? You pull up somebody from the D League and get them $10 million. You don't give me $10 million. Like, that's ridiculous to me. That's ridiculous. Hmm. I would be gone.
How about? So what was your other bad contract?
Oh yeah, this is the most, this one right here. This was number one, but I thought somebody else was gonna say it, but it was just me and Mike clearly on this. so I was kind of leaving it open because I was going with the ones that I thought people probably wouldn't say. Ha! But I gotta bring it back to old Memphis.
What?
Mike Conley.
That's a bad one?
Mike Conley. This man, I'm not taking nothing away from his game. I think he's a solid point guard. He's a solid point guard. This dude and now has the record as the biggest contract ever. You know what this is going to – if y'all remember a few years back, there was a man by the name of Rashad Lewis who was getting paid more.
$19 million a year. He was
the number two contract for a while. Had the biggest contract. Mike Conley, they must got the same agent. Because this dude got 5 years, $153 million. This dude has not made an all-star game. Period.
But that's not his fault. I don't think
his greatest achievement is that he's a 2-time NBA Sportsmanship Award.
Oh man! Mike Conley, wherever you at, man. I ain't hating on you. Get your
this
money, man.
This nigga is the MLK of basketball.
Whoa. Why is he roasting Mike Conley?
This nigga is the MLK of basketball. I'm glad he in Memphis, too. He the MLK of basketball. And he just pimped the league. He got them out there on that whoop that trick. He just pimped the league. He got the richest contract in NBA history without ever making an all-star game. I mean, damn. I can't wrap my head around this clause. I just don't understand it.
Hey, but Mike Conley done made it. He done made the All NBA third team twice. He done made the All NBA defensive team first team twice. I mean, he's not no scrub.
I'm not saying he's a scrub.
I know what you're saying.
I'm not saying he's a scrub.
It don't fit. Largest contract in NBA history, Mike Conley. It don't go together.
I'm not saying the man is a scrub. I'm saying that the biggest achievement that he has is that he's a two-time NBA Sportsmanship Award winner in 2014 and 2016. I mean, if we went on to make speeches and stuff, I'd give him the mic. We talking about basketball.
What about Rajon Rondo? He got 2 years, 28 million.
Man, this dude Rondo, man. I don't want to deal with Rondo, man. He hit or miss. Ain't no telling where he gonna be at. You know, telling him.
Hey, Mike, he all right, you know.
I mean, if he on his Boston type game, he cool. But
right.
If he be on that stuff he was on in Dallas, it's just it don't matter.
He just needs shooters. He needs shooters. He needs like Ray Allen and a KG.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's the only way he excels is if he got shooters around him. You put him on a team with those shooters.
Right. I mean, I think he'll do all right. I'm sure he'll get his points.
They got like two shooters, but that's it.
They got Butler,
they got
Gibson, and Butler.
They got what's his name, Merrick.
Yeah,
that's
it. But you got, but that means you gotta. They gotta be like Golden State. They gotta be hitting on every night. And do you think they gonna be hitting on every night? Like I mean, like you gotta have multiple shooters.
I think they're gonna try to be more defensive. I don't know who that center is. They ain't gonna get worse center now. And that would have brought back Noah Harrison probably would have been a lot better. Because Noah Butler is going to be the defensive anchor at the end. And Emmett Rondo is at a backcourt. I think this is probably the toughest two defenders, you know, combination right now in the NBA as far as a backcourt.
Yeah. Decent.
I'm not going.
I don't think.
But Rondo can shoot. That's the only ever deal. If he can shoot, all of this would be great.
Yeah, but a point guard that can't shoot ain't doing nothing but passing. But he's not a full-out passer. He's not going to attack the basket like Derrick Rose and get the type of finishes that Derrick Rose got. So right now they filled the hole, and if they get rid of Gasol, all they got is Taj Gibson and one dude, Valanciunas, but the one dude you mentioned, but he shoots more threes than he does in the paint.
Meritage, but they got two of those young power forwards to do Felicio or something like that. They came out, he had a breakout at the
test. Trying to cover up these dudes' flaws. He's trying to make.
No, I'm not. I'm just telling you who they got, man. What they what
they
probably looking at.
Man, they not gonna do nothing for
him. Right. Okay. Well,
you know,
okay.
Go ahead. I was about to say, you know, since we're talking about whole team overall after the last couple of days of free agency, like even though they look good on paper, quiet as this cap I think the Knicks might be putting together a nice little squad overall.
Amen to that.
I was wondering if we was going to touch on teams that we felt like did a good job or not.
That's what I was going to be my next question. So, since we're starting off with that, Mike, I'm going to let you take it. Anybody else besides the Knicks? I would have liked them to have kept Aaron Afalo, because as a two guard seed, I was going to find a starting lineup. Derrick Rose, Aaron Afalo, Carmelo. But they got Courtney Lee, though. They got Courtney Lee, though. That's a good, because Courtney Lee probably more better spot-up shooter than Afalo. To me, in my opinion, not that much better.
Yeah,
he's probably cheaper.
They got Courtney Lee, though.
Right, I'm not too familiar with they bench, but right now, if you put Courtney Lee and they start in five as the two guard, you know, they got a decent lineup besides Carmelo don't play defense.
Well, they got me. It's all they can pretty much play like. They can play like the Warriors play. They can play a because their small ball ain't really small. Chris Stapps, of course, they give you a perimeter power forward. He can play like a Kevin Love or a Draymond Green. He's probably not as strong as them, but his height makes up for all of that strength. So, you know, he can just stand there and, you know, let's do what you do and swap through shuttle away. He plays the power forward.
I think that's one of the biggest things, and they got to go and know it. But other than New York, though, like, who do you think else did this job for the Mike? Is the question to Mike? Oh, okay. I like the Thunder for real, like with that Oladipo trade from Orlando. Like, you know, it was like quiet, but I think getting Oladipo at the two guard, it really helped out. I mean, granted, they lost Ibaka and possibility they might lose Durant, which I doubt they lose Durant. But with Cantor and Oladipo as the two, you know, Waiters coming off the bench, you know, it might build, it builds that extra offense to the squad that they was missing.
Waiters might cash in. He might go somewhere else, I think.
Yeah, they talking about like the Timberwolves and somebody else was looking at them like another good team. Just looking at him.
But I agree with you, Mike. That's a good. Yeah. Ain't nobody talking about it. They ain't really hit the free agency that much with that trade.
Right.
Who your Brian? Who's your team? You think making the best move so far? I mean, I know you like New York. We all like New York. I think New York is running it right now. They was the team that had the best offseason so far.
Yeah, mine is a little bit, you know what I'm saying, like people talk about the Boston thing, which it was great that they got Horford and everything. That's probably the best big name person, but at the same time, what people not understanding is they did lose Evan Turner, who was a key person for them this year. And then in the draft, they got a dude, Jaylen Brown, who's not even a shooter, and they needed a shooter. I know this is about free agency, but you got to think about who you lost and who you gained. Evan Turner wasn't the greatest shooter, but he was at least a, you know what I'm saying, offensive threat. For you to bring in a rookie who can't shoot, that's a little bit, you know.
I want to disagree. I want to disagree because I like Evan Turner too with you, and he is a terrific player, a good all-around player. But I think that what you just said, he not a good shooter was the reason why they willing to let him go. They don't need one of
but
those.
But this is what
forward.
I was about
they,
to tell. But what I'm saying is you picked up Jaylen Brown. He's a worse shooter than Evan Turner. That's what I'm saying. If Jaylen Brown would have been a shooter, that I would have been fine with it. But I feel like that was, I mean, you lost a person that couldn't shoot for a person that shoots worse. So I left off of them.
I wouldn't say, people, I mean, but he got an upside though.
I mean, so did Turner. But, I mean,
but no, Turner hit a ceiling as far
as shooting. But at the same time, I was going to bring it to, you know, free agency. And it's about the moves they made. So that was a good move. But my biggest free agency move, and I feel like the team that's being slept on is going to really make some noise, and they was at the bottom, but I feel like they can get to the top, is the Pacers.
Oh,
the Pacers
yeah.
sign Thaddeus Young.
Al Jefferson.
And Al Jefferson.
Big Al.
That's some big moves right there. They picked up Thaddeus Young and Al Jefferson. Those are some big moves right there. They was already scary. They was just at the bottom of the, you know what I'm saying, the East. But teams didn't want to see them in the playoffs. They didn't really want to see them because if they got the right matchup, it was over. And I feel like those was two real big pickups for them. And I feel like they made a real strong move in the, you know what I'm saying, in the off season as far as getting people that's
going to Jeff the next level. They got Jeff Teague.
Yeah, and then I was going to be the other person that I said that they got Jeff Teague as well. That gives them another all-star point guard that's on their squad. I mean, they made some moves. I feel like Indiana is eating right now on the Cajun side.
And they working on getting Rudy Gay.
Yep.
Rudy Gay too.
sign a long-term deal right now and not know what Westbrook is about to do next year, because if he signs something long this year, then he is, you know, his future is could be messed up. Like, he's going to be stuck here, and they won't win a championship if Westbrook is bounced and goes somewhere else. So I feel like he's going to stay. I think he's only going to do, like, an extension or, like, a one-year contract. But I feel like his option, like, if he wants to win this next season coming up, with all the rosters remaining the same as they are right now, and he could just decide to go where he wants to go, his best option is to leave. But as Mike pointed out, that Oladipo trade was a really good trade, and I feel like they have the pieces in OKC for him to do something, and he's leaving. I feel like he would be leaving too good of a situation to go somewhere else to think that he could win. Like, yeah, he could go to Golden State, and they probably will have a really good chance to win. Yeah, he could go to San Antonio, and have a really good chance for him to win. But you don't leave Oklahoma without knowing what Westbrook is going to do. Because if y'all can keep y'all young talent together for years, you got to roll with that. That's how I feel about this.
Word. 100%. Tell me your opinion, man. Kevin Durant leaving.
I didn't really hear you, but from what I did hear, I don't think he's leaving. Yeah, like Ryan was saying, you can't really make a deal before Westbrook, and you can't really go into one of these big deals knowing that the TV money that you get next year will make all these contracts that we all like, wow, this year look like, oh, that was a good contract. So with the money that's coming next year, the risk of where Westbrook, if Westbrook do leave and you put in all that money somewhere else, or if he does decide to stay, that's like a big chance. And then from what I was reading, they were saying it's really only down to two teams of Oklahoma City or the Warriors. So if it's really only narrowing it down to two people, you got Jerry West calling you saying, like, we'll be a great offensive team. I mean, that's cool. And, of course, I'd say Golden State still has what it takes to get back to the championship again. But it's just like, yeah, we'll get there and we'll score to get there, but, like, you know what I mean, it's not guaranteed. And if you make a big deal, he missing out on next year's money.
Oh, that's a favorite. If he do something like that, if I was to my side,
yeah, you sound horrible on speakerphone.
Hello, speakerphone. What's going
on? Hello.
Hello. Is that any better?
Yes.
All right.
Hello?
Yes, it is.
Shit. Might say it's something on my phone, but shit. So, Kevin Durant, probably not, in my opinion, the last thing on it is, I think he's going to stay on OKC. I really think that this is a thing with anything. I think he's trying to get some leverage for his contract, but he's going to probably sign a one-year deal with OKC. Because, you know, that's about another year, right? And they got in the move that they made, like, you know,
why ain't making a deal for him? Why is he waiting? He just wants to
Hello? Hello?
You hear me? Yeah, I couldn't hear you. The phone's like breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
What'd you say? I can hear you now.
All right, cool. I was saying, what about the boy LeBron, man? Well, he ain't signed yet. He's waiting for it. He just want to be the last one.
I mean, more than likely he is. I mean, you already know he's gonna sign. Like you, when you the king, you know what I'm saying. You take the last step. You know what I'm saying. You the last, and say the best for last, pretty much. Say the best for last. And his contract about to be crazy. I can't wait to see his contract. I'm really looking forward to it.
They're gonna automatically make them. Whatever my contract was per year, whoever got the highest per year, he was making the highest pay with all respect.
He's not signing nothing this year but a 1 year. This year is just a 1 year. The big contract is
exactly,
next year.
Exactly, yeah. It is just a 1 year.
But it's
going to
be a lot of 1 year,
baby. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, you're
making the highest paid player for the forthcoming season. The 1 year deal, just show him some respect, show him some leeway.
In high school and middle school, man, I have to say myself, I have to say I really disagree with that. Now, quarterbacks, they have to be tough, especially in the NFL. But running backs, defensive backs, wide receivers, man, linebackers, they see more of them hit on a daily, every play. The linemen, they're in there getting hit every play hard in the same spot over and over again. And look, I just want to, before you go, Ryan, I want you to answer next. I just want to give you out a couple figures. We could say Andrew Luck is the top at $23 million. Then there's Joe Flacco, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Cam Newton. They all are making $20-plus million, all right? And then there's a drop-off. I mean, I'll throw Brady in there. He's making 20. And there's Matt Ryan, Ronan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, and who is this from San Francisco? Colin Kaepernick making $19 million. I mean, Ryan, is this justified? Do you agree with Mike? Do you just pay the quarterback?
I'm when I say this right now, it's a split decision. It's like I'm playing both sides of the field because I agree with Mike. The quarterbacks definitely need to get paid the most, but. My problem is not the quarterbacks getting paid the most. My problem is the quarterbacks that are getting paid. So you tell me that you have Andrew Luck making $122 million for a dude that's never even got to the Super Bowl, but you got Russell Wilson making $87 million. That went back to back and won one. You got Ben that won multiple. That's 87. Eli, he's won multiple. He got 84. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense. I don't have a problem with you giving them the most money. That's fine. That's because, like I said, I agree with Mike. I feel they should get the most money because if you don't have a quarterback, you trash. But my problem is. You got to give the money to the people who are performing, the people who are worthy. Andrew Luck probably came off the worst season that he had of his career.
And it doesn't make sense.
You got people like Ryan Tannehill who cashed out from the Dolphins and ain't even made the playoffs. He cashed out. You got Jay Cutler making 120. You know what I'm saying? You got people that's making crazy amount of money who have never even had an accomplishment really in pro football. And no Pro Bowls under their belt, no nothing. And I don't have a problem with you paying quarterbacks the most money. I have the problem with who you're paying the most money to.
That's true. Let me get my man Black Superman in here. 1229, man. Caught that at the end of the show, man. What's up with it?
Hi, guys. Just calling in to check in with you guys. But, I just caught a piece of it. I definitely don't agree with any of that. Just like Shug, as a former football player, man, you know, quarterbacks, they don't get hit on every play. Linemen get hit on every play. Running backs get hit on every last play of every down. So I feel like, you know, other people, you know, take more hits. Yes, a quarterback is important, but you also can win without a great, excellent quarterback. So I think that, you know, I think the money should be allocated. Right, exactly. I think that, exactly, even though that's just watch your mouth, that's the coach. But, you know, it's no secret that, you know, he took a step back. Especially in the Super Bowl, it was shown that he took a step back. So, but his team stepped up. So I feel like it's other important areas. It's just how you allocate, you know, your team, how you work your team. So the money should be allocated a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? And just paying them all the money because honestly, I don't think Joe Flacco deserved that. He was just throwing up stuff and Antoine Bolden and then was just bringing down everything. So, I mean, it just matters. But that's what I want to say, man. But Gibson, y'all make a lot of good points. I just want to listen for real, though. So, y'all go ahead, man. I'm a little bit tipsy, so I'm going to let y'all talk, man.
As always. Hey, good input, though, man. I want to piggyback off of what Demetri was saying, man. That it's absolutely true. The quarterback, though, you know, he has a ball in his hands the most. To pay him that, I mean, you give Sam Bradford $17 million just because he's a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't deserved that money. You pay him $2 million. You pay him what your, you know, lineman is being paid right now until he proves he worth $17 million. You know, football contracts are a lot. More generous to that, you know, to the quarterbacks than any other players, and they kind of make the make all the other players look, you know, look sick, look poor, like they're working minimum wage. I can't justify Sam Bradford making $17 million when, you know, after the year that, what's the quarterback from Carolina's name again that got let go? What's his name again? Josh Norman. They was arguing over whether to pay him $12 million or $15 million after the year he had in a Pro Bowl,
right,
you know, becoming the best corner of the year, please.
Right, right, which is understandable. Which, like I said, I don't have no problem with them stealing up the money regardless. My biggest problem is who you're paying. Like, you can pay it. What I was saying is you can pay it to whoever you want to. I wasn't defending, oh, you can pay the quarterback the most. I'm saying I don't care who you pay, just make sure they doing something to deserve this money that they getting. I don't care if you paid it to the kicker. If he kicking field goals after field goals after field goal, pay that man. But don't tell me you just paying somebody just because, okay, we feel like it's a quarterback, we need to pay him, because that's what's going on right now. You just paying somebody because they the leader of your team. You're not paying them off of their performance. That's what I have a problem with. You got to pay to play. If you're not out here performing, then what's the point of you getting paid? Like, I have no problem with quarterbacks getting the amount of money that they get paid. But you got to tell, you got your stats got to back up what you're getting. Your stats or your performance, it has to back up what you're getting. That's what I'm saying.
My thing is they get the best guaranteed money. They get guaranteed money, so if they get messed up, if they get hurt, they still getting that tag. It's harder to release these quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying? Now, they could be paying Josh Norman $12 million this year, $15 million the next year, and $16 million the next, but they can release him any of those years and just forfeit that whole thing and just pay him like $1 million. That's how those contracts, and that's what, you know, in this little conversion, we're going from NBA to NFL while we're talking about this NBA being so rich and just handing out money and making the grand. The NFL, you know, they got a lot of non-guaranteed contracts. They only play 16 games a year, 17 maximum. The NBA, they play 82 games, so it does make sense that they money is worth it. At the same time, I agree with what Meek is saying. I think the money should be allocated even further. We got 3 minutes left, y'all. We had a good show, man. We pretty much talked about everything we had. So any tip-in, any add-ins, anybody want to put in?
Dallas Mavericks suck. They get Harrison Barnes. This is going to be another big deal, and I think it's going to tank. And it's going to mess up their whole season again like they did with DeAndre Jordan last year.
Wow. Okay.
I forgot to mention that, but
I feel like with that whole Mavericks deal, honestly, if I was Harrison Barnes, I'm going off because the Warriors are giving the most money. But I would feel like I would leave. Like, I'm not on that. I'm not nobody's sloppy second. So, if you ain't beginning, dog, don't try to play me second. Like, I'll be bouncing with somebody and say, oh, we got to wait to see what this other person wants to do. Then we'll try it. All right. I got a trick for y'all. I'm out of here, baby. I tell him so quick, I'm out of here, baby. Plan B. That's what's up, dude. I'm out of here, baby. Plan B.
Oh, my God.
Get me out of here.
The line of the day. I'm out of here, baby. What?
All right, so, man, my last little thing is I want to shout out the front office of the Los Angeles Lakers for being the worst businessman in the business. You have a franchise that has won 16 NBA championships and all the money in the world. There's no reason you couldn't hire somebody else. I don't know what they're saying in these conversations. And, I mean, Kobe is gone. You can't say, oh, well, nobody want to play with Kobe now. Well, he's not here. What are y'all doing?
I want to shout out Luke Walton for getting on that Mike Brown contract, because when he's gone with this horrible team, he's about to be set for life.
I think he already set for life before he even coached the game. Well, imagine being forced to leave a real basketball team in the meantime. And once again, this is Cyber Show. We signing off, brothers. Next week, y'all. Peace.
Bye.